Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our house. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor with BFDFantasyFootball.com. Now brought to you by Scout Fantasy. We'll talk to that in just a minute. As I introduce my co-host, as usual, the world-famous Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp in these parts. We're going to be bringing you a great show post NFL week two, heading into week three. Lots to talk about from a fantasy football perspective. We'll break down some injury news and talk about the impacts on the fantasy football rosters, some free agents that could really help your team heading into week three. And then we'll talk about some previews, looking at some week three matchups and what we see moving forward. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Doing very good. Big Monday Night Football win by the Eagles last night. And Carson, we trust.
Oh, baby, loving that. Love the way he looked. Didn't put up a huge fantasy night, but he's got a really bright future in this league. You can tell already. So a lot to be excited about in Philly, I'm sure. Before we get into the show, I do want to remind everybody about our big news. And that is BFDFantasyFootball.com has joined with ScoutFantasy.com. All of our 2016 content is exclusively on their site. Please join us for only $12 at that site using promo code BFD16. Again, BFD16. And you'll sign up for $12 and you'll get 3 free months on top of the 1 month for $12. And that'll cover you through the rest of the NFL regular season and through your fantasy season. And feel free to cancel at any time, but maybe you'll like some of the other great stuff Scout Fantasy, as well as the entire Scout Network, can bring to you as far as awesome content. But, I've been providing my weekly daily fantasy plays of the week and fades of the week. Of course, the coaching tree still up and still relevant in my mind as you analyze players' opportunities in different systems. I like to go back and take a look at, oh, yeah, do they throw to the tight end or not? And you can do that at the coaching tree, which, again, is all premium content for exclusively for Scout Fantasy premium members. Again, join us there for only $12. Use promo code BFD16 and get 3 free months. Hey, man, a lot to get into as we start off the show here. Seems like devastating injuries kind of always top the list here. I think, in my mind, a couple of the biggies to start with is Adrian Peterson and Danny Woodhead, just to name a few. Let's start with Adrian Peterson, probably the biggest fantasy value heading into the season, although I did name him as one of my bust candidates. I think my honorable mention there. What do you think about Adrian Peterson injury?
We're on the same page there. Adrian Peterson was definitely a guy that I never drafted anywhere, never even looked at, never even considered. He doesn't catch enough passes in a PPR format. The injury is devastating for the Vikings in the whole. I mean, Sam Bradford looked exceptional, Sunday night. Stephon Diggs.
No doubt. I'm really excited about the potential opportunity for McKinnon here. Definitely one of the hottest pickups of the week in most leagues if he's available and you're shallow or low. Asiata probably available in deeper formats, so he's a guy that'll probably be bidding on in fantasy, but not too exciting of a player. Like I said, the most exciting part of it is the goal line work, and you'd have to have a touchdown. I think he's relevant. What about Danny Woodhead, man? What do you see there?
I think that's probably the biggest loss of the weekend from a fantasy football perspective, because I know a lot of guys just didn't take running backs earlier, didn't spend early round draft picks, and guys like Danny Woodhead were extremely valuable later in the rounds. It's a big loss. I think Melvin Gordon's value skyrockets right now. I think he's definitely a guy that is going to be very, very dependent upon in San Diego. Another guy who is totally under the radar right now, who most people probably don't even know is on the team, they signed Dexter McCluster today, which clearly is a good PPR signing, in my opinion. He's definitely a guy that will have value. He's definitely a guy that should be picked up this week. Definitely a guy that probably will just take the Danny Woodhead role. Might not be as good, might not be as quality, but still going to put up.
Yeah, sorry. Who was that there? I was just checking out the waiver wire action. What were you saying there? Who was the player? Yeah, no doubt. You know, I got to give you props. I think one of the hottest pickups this week is the guy you chatted about, the guy you liked last week, Dennis Pitta. What week out of Dennis Pitta? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, he was a big target for Flacco. He looks like he's back from the injury. It's definitely, you know, a guy that if he's still available, go get him now because he's not going to be available after this week. Definitely a valuable pickup, but definitely something we were right about last week.
No doubt. You know, I can walk us through some free agent pickups here. You know, maybe that's a great way to kind of cover and make sure that we get everybody some options to help their teams. I love what Dave was saying there about Dexter McCluckster. You know, somebody's got to pass, catch some passes out there in San Diego. So, love that. Tyrell Williams, we talked about him last week, has a good week, but somebody's got to catch some passes out of the backfield, and I think that means good things as well for Dexter McCluster. Guys, we apologize. I think we're having a little bit of audio issues here. Let me see if we can't resolve these. I apologize. Dave, how are you back now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, man, sounded much better. I think this is coming through a little more clear. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Where were we? We had just covered Woodhead and Peterson, some other injury news of the week. Let's see. Jonathan Stewart. What do you think of Jonathan Stewart injury?
It's a big injury for Carolina more than fantasy football. Jonathan Stewart was never more than a, you know, serviceable running back four, running back three, I guess, on teams. Fozzie Whitaker is probably going to be the guy that's going to be the biggest beneficiary. You're going to get Mike Tolbert's going to get some carries. Cameron Artis Payne's going to probably be activated from the practice squad. I think this is Fozzie Whitaker's show. They have a tough matchup this week. It's going to be really, really tough to really figure it out. I don't think somebody's going to emerge. But from a PPR standpoint, I think that Fozzie Whitaker is the best option.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with him being out, Jonathan Stewart being out at least a week or two, you know, I agree that Fozzie Whitaker is the guy who, you know, could pop a little bit here. I don't think you want to go too crazy. Like you said, I don't like the real long-term potential opportunity with Stewart, you know, ultimately coming back at some point. Although these hamstrings can really linger, Whitaker is the guy who looks like he might continue to have a role even, you know, when Stewart comes back, whereas Cameron Artis Payne, I think, has to have Stewart out in order to have any value. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see the distribution. Mike Tolbert also there. You know, I would agree to be Whitaker, you know, Cameron Artis Payne, then Tolbert, but could easily be the opposite way, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's up in the air. I mean, Ron Rivera is going to give the ball the hot hand, but all those guys are going to be involved. It's definitely not something I would target this week with so many other options out there that might be better, more beneficial to your PPR leagues. If I had to pick one again, I'd pick Fozzie Whitaker, but that's not a ring endorsement right now.
Dante Moncrief has a shoulder injury after almost getting murdered by the Denver Broncos secondary last week, undergoing MRI. So, you know, it looks like he's, you know, going to be out sometime, I would guess. Wonderful things for Philip Dorsett, who already looks great in the mix. What do you think about the injury there?
It's a big injury, for a guy who was a preseason hype monster, who was drafted extremely high, a guy who disappointed last year, obviously, with Andrew Luck being injured, but was supposed to be a breakout performer this year with T.Y. Hilton. Man, you said a Denver defense killed him. I say Andrew Luck killed him. That throw he made in that play was absolutely terrible. Literally laid the guy out to dry. T.J. Ward laid him out. This makes Philip Dorsett a must-add this week, a guy that against San Diego this week should have a nice, nice game at home. Andrew Luck likes playing at home a lot better than he does on the road. They won't be facing Von Miller and the boys this week. Philip Dorsett's definitely a sneaky name to add this week that should be available in most leagues.
You know, except the leagues, of course, we're playing in, because I was drafting him in the 10th rounds. You know, we haven't heard back, I think, about the MRI on Moncrief, but I think the only real question is, you know, how much time is he going to miss? You know, these shoulder injuries can linger. We saw how it affected Cobb last year in Green Bay throughout the year, dealing with a shoulder injury. So not a great injury for a receiver. And like you said, great things for Philip Dorsett. Who else is banged up? Brandon Marshall. What do you think about Brandon Marshall?
I mean, he says he's going to try everything he can to be ready for this week. I don't see it. I think he's going to miss at least a game. I mean, that injury on Thursday night looked like a season ender. You know, I was scared for him. I don't own him in any leagues. I really wasn't that high on him this year. But definitely a guy that, you know, I love as a player. I mean, he's a guy that goes out there every week and gives it his all. I think he's going to miss a game. I just don't think it's going to be – he's just going to be able to come right back. I mean, he said he's been, you know, having some issues, hasn't practiced much. He really wasn't unsure today about his availability. It's going to be really, really tough for him to get out there this week. I think it makes Eric Decker and Quincy Inouye, I believe that's his name. I'm terrible with, you know, pronunciations, but I'm pretty much two guys who are going to must start this week.
Yeah, especially if if Marshall's out, no doubt, even if Marshall's playing somewhat limited, still excellent options. Looks like Brandon Marshall is going to be game time. My initial thought was that he was going to play, but like you said, with some complications this week, I suppose it's, you know, 50-50 at best. You'll have to take a look at his progress, you know, as we progress this week. But I got to say, man, the Jets offense really took a step forward last week. They're feeding the ball to Matt Forte. I'm really surprised at how many touches Matt Forte is getting. Are you?
Totally surprised. I thought it was going to be more of a 60-40, maybe 65-35 split. Matt Forte is a top five running back right now in fantasy football. We're trying to figure out short things right now, and he's as close to a short thing as there is right now. There aren't many in the NFL right now. Timeshares are all over. You know, Oakland, New Orleans, go down the road of teams that are just stumbling right now running the football. New York, Washington, even Dallas. I mean, you can keep going down the list of teams that should be running the ball a lot better that just aren't. I mean, this is a team, if you own Matt Forte right now, you better be extremely happy because he's a guy who's getting plenty of work.
Yeah, and, Fitzpatrick sort of rounding into season shape, I think, after knocking off some rust, you know, coming into camp late. Jets offense really looking good right now, I got to say. Who else we got that's injured? We got some Arian Foster. What do you think about Arian Foster?
Definitely an injury that affected me a lot. He's a guy that I liked. Maybe I bought in a little too much in camp because Jay Ajayi, I mean, Kenyon Drake, you know, they're young backs who just weren't getting it done in camp. They're going to be very, very intriguing options this week if Foster should miss at least a week. They're saying with a strained groin. They play Cleveland this week. We all know the disaster of the Cleveland Browns right now, with Cody Kessler, you know, starting at quarterback with the injury to Josh McCown. I mean, you would think you'd get a lot of Miami Dolphins running the football this week in a game they should be in control of clear. Miami Dolphins defense might be the number one defense this week. That'll be very, very cheap in most leagues, especially, you know, daily and, you know, just waiver wire pickups. They're obviously going to be available going into waiver wire periods. Definitely a defense to target. But I like Drake a little bit more just because he has a little bit more of that explosive ability, and he's definitely better in the passing game.
But again, whoever takes the lead this week, with Arian Foster supposedly going to miss at least 1 week, will be a very, very valuable fantasy force and definitely a flex option.
No doubt. Just got to kind of pick your guy there. Jahi's looked so bad that, you know, like I said, it kind of leads you to Drake kind of just by default. So we'll have to see. But I think both are worth the add this week and to see what happens. Who else out? A couple quarterbacks with some injuries. Garoppolo, Cutler. What do you think about these guys?
The Cutler injury I don't think really affects the Bears as much as you think it does. I mean, he stinks. I watched that game last night, and I watched a little bit of the game, you know, week one. I don't know how any team can get behind Jay Cutler and say, this is my quarterback. He just does not look like he cares. He does not look like he wants to be on the field. It's really an embarrassment to watch. Like, Alshon Jeffrey's a beast. I don't understand how a guy doesn't get 15 targets a game. I mean, yeah. The Eagles had a rookie corner on him last night. I mean, Jalen Mills played good for the Eagles, but let's get one thing straight. Alshon Jeffrey, if you throw the ball up, they have nobody on that team that can go get it. Why isn't he touching the ball numerous times? Jay Cutler just throwing a ball up in the air. He just looks disinterested out there. Brian Hoyer, I think he's a serviceable backup. I mean, he's never going to set the world on fire, but I think I like him better from a fantasy perspective than I like Cutler. I mean, Kevin White, he just looks like he's running a 5. Somebody said he ran a 4.3 at the combine. He looks like he's running a 5.3 this year. He looks so slow on that reverse last night. I mean, what happened? That guy is supposedly one of the most explosive talents coming out of the draft last year. I mean, I know he got hurt, but you just don't lose that much speed that quick. I mean, he just looks like he's carrying a load in his pants.
Yeah, he's not. It doesn't look like he's at 100%, and it doesn't really look like he knows exactly, you know, what he wants to do in this offense quite yet. So, I think it's going to take some time for him to develop there. With Cutler, I kind of was a little disappointed because, like I said, I like the fact that he's willing to feed Jeffrey the ball a bit more, and he's got some rapport with Eddie Royal. So I'm a little bit worried about those guys switching to Hoyer. But, you know, point taken, you know, Cutler's not that great. He does get the ball out, you know, with pretty good velocity. So, you know, you got to like that from a receiver sort of standpoint. So, I do worry about those receivers kind of reaching their potential now. Because I thought Eddie Royal was kind of like a sneaky ad last week that I was able to get on a couple of my teams, and looked pretty good last week with Cutler, and hopefully continues that with Hoyer.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I mean, I think Zach Miller is a guy that might get a little bit more value. Definitely a guy who really wasn't getting the ball much with Cutler through 2 weeks. Definitely a guy that he might, you know, just a guy who might be a speculative ad if he's available at tight end. On a position that's very, very up and down right now.
Yeah, who else you got for some, injury news?
You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, he really wasn't doing much for guys who are owned in fantasy football. Danny Amendola, he had 2 touchdowns last week. Wasn't a guy that really was getting used. Martellus Bennett was definitely a speculative ad, especially with Gronk being out. Had a very, very, very good game last week. Ran over Byron Maxwell twice. Julian Edelman, serviceable. I mean, he had, you know, a pretty good game last week from a PPR standpoint. But the injury this week is devastating for a fantasy perspective. I mean, I don't know if you have a better option than Julian Edelman, I say you gamble on him this week, because I know it's Bill Belichick. I know it's Josh McDaniels. I know they're the New England Patriots, but Jacoby Brissett is a rookie quarterback. It's going to be a simplified game plan. You're going to see, I'd say, 25 to 30 carries from LeGarrette Blount. It could be a very, very, very ugly fantasy day from anybody in the New England camp.
Yeah, boy, surprised they fed Blount so much, but it'll be interesting to see if he continues to get so much work. Another guy, who tweaked his hammy in week 2 and, you know, could still miss some time, I think, is Doug Martin. Have you gotten an update on him at all?
Nothing yet. I mean, it's still very, very unsure. I mean, they said he might be ready to go this week, but, you know, there's reports that it might be a 2 to 4 week injury. I mean, Charles Sims is definitely a guy that is a must add. Probably not available in most leagues. They just signed Jaquizz Rodgers, who's a, you know, solid veteran, you know, back that was on the streets. definitely a sign that Doug Martin might not be ready, you know, for this week. But Charles Sims probably will be the number one most owned running back this week in daily. Daily fantasy, you know, should be very cheap. You know, a guy who's going to get a lot of targets in the passing game. If Martin doesn't play, I mean, he's definitely a guy that I think you almost have to start in 95% of your daily lineups.
Yeah, and you'd like him even with Martin in the lineup. What do you think about that?
If Martin's in the lineup, it's a totally different story, but he's still a guy that'll be cheap enough to where he should exceed his value.
Mm-hmm. But like you say, it goes through the roof. Martin actually misses. I agree. Let's see, taking a look at some other free agent guys who might be able to, you know, help your team. I guess we can start maybe with some quarterbacks who might be able to help. Joe Flacco, you know, starting to kind of round the corner and knock some dust off, I think. And he's got some talented receivers. He's available pretty much everywhere. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked really good. You know, going deeper than that, maybe a Brock Osweiler and a Carson Wentz would be the guys I'd be looking at. You like those guys at quarterback if you needed a backup or, you know, somebody you're starting to plan for some bye weeks and things?
Yeah, definitely a guy that you got, you know, a lot of guys you mentioned I like. Another guy who's really flown under the radar. I mean, he had a big, big week last week. So, you know, after a really subpar week one, he's probably not available in most leagues, but Matt Ryan's definitely a name that could be still sitting on your waiver wire for teams who just go one quarterback. In deeper leagues like the we play in, I've seen Matt Ryan available, and they play the Saints this week, enough said. Ceiling-wise this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a good name against Kansas City. Marcus Mariota, everybody's seen with Oakland's, you know, defense and how terrible it's been so far. Mariota's a speculative name to watch. I don't like Tyrod Taylor this week against Arizona. They should get killed. Osweiler, I don't like his ceiling this week against New England. I mean, I just don't see that game getting to a point where it's going to be a shootout. After that, I mean, you're really, really, really deep in the quarterbacks. I mean, Trevor Siemian against Cincinnati, not really a guy I like. You mentioned most of the guys that should be, if they're available, they shouldn't be, you know, especially this week.
Yeah, gosh, we got pretty good there. I mean, the only two names I think that probably might be available in most leagues, Ryan Tannehill and Dak Prescott. You know, again, I'm not as crazy about those guys as the other guys I mentioned. The other guys I mentioned should be, you know, generally available, at least one of them in your league. Moving on to some running backs who might be able to help your team. You know, guys who, you know, would be, you know, obvious adds, but really probably not available in most places. Tevin Coleman, Charles Sims, we talked about him. Great option this week, particularly if Martin's out. Guys who realistically might be available in some leagues, you know, Bilal Powell still available in some of my local leagues, Shane Vereen, Jerick McKinnon, we just talked about, big time potential now with Peterson out at least a few weeks. Fozzie Whitaker, we already talked about. Cameron Artis Payne, we already talked about. What do you think about Dwayne Washington? Some people calling him an ad. Is he's kind of ahead of Zach Zenner as the actual power back in this offense?
Definitely like Dwayne Washington. He's definitely a name I was going to mention. He's definitely a guy that's been getting a lot of pub this week with Abdullah probably going to be out for, you know, at least a week, maybe more. Robert Turbin's another name is a guy to watch. I mean, I'm still not a believer in Frank Gore. I don't think he's going to be a big-time ad, but he's definitely a guy to watch. If you're looking deep, Alfred Morris is another name. If you don't know Ezekiel Elliott, he's probably available in most leagues. I mean, carried the ball at the end of that game when Elliott fumbled, and if he has any fumbling issues, I don't care what Jerry Jones says. It's about winning games. Deeper guys, I mean, Jordan Howard looked powerful in a couple runs on Monday night. Jeremy Langford fumbled. Definitely not something I like to see because I'm a big Jeremy Langford owner this year, but if you own him, Jordan Howard would be the number one guy I would own really quickly because I think he's going to start getting some more touches if Langford continues to struggle. After that, we mentioned most of the names, you know, in the beginning of the show of guys that we like. I mean, there's not really many deep, deep names. The running back position is really, really bipolar this year. It's crazy how every week it seems like there's a totally different 12-team starting lineup.
last week, it was kind of this darling, Richard in Oakland, kind of settles down. DeAndre Washington, kind of reassures us. I think he's the guy. You think it's a potential three-headed monster still in Oakland? What are you seeing there?
Everything the coach is saying, it's going to be they're all going to get, carries. I don't like it. I think Latavius Murray is clearly the best back. It's just a question of when's the coach going to trust him. I just think he's powerful. I think he can do a lot in that offense of just giving the opportunity to, get all the carries. I mean, the young guys are okay. They have their flashes, but I've always been to the school of if you got a good running back, give him the ball until he shows that he just can't handle it. And Latavius Murray, to me, every time he's had the opportunity, has put the numbers up, but they continue to just not buy into him, and I don't get it. I think running back committees are a disaster for teams outside of, the New England Patriots who just do things their own way. They're not really included. But if you look at some of the powerful teams right now, the Denver Broncos, C.J. Anderson, the Arizona Cardinals, David Johnson, the Carolina Panthers, Jonathan Stewart, we can keep going down the list. Pittsburgh Steelers, D'Angelo Williams, clear-cut guys who are getting carries, getting established, getting rhythm. I don't understand what NFL teams are doing with this running back by committee stuff.
Moving on to some receivers that might be available in some leagues. You'll probably just name some guys who shouldn't be available in your formats. Philip Dorsett, we already talked about, could be a huge stud now. Tyrell Williams, last week's kind of darling, and who kind of came through this week with some big plays. Victor Cruz, looks even better than he did in week one. Good for him and good for fantasy teams. Mike Wallace shouldn't be available at this point anywhere. Mohamed Sanu shouldn't be available anywhere. Nunwa should be picked up everywhere at this point, particularly with Marshall. Steve Smith Sr. shouldn't be available anywhere. Cole Beasley continues to look quite active with Dak Prescott. At this point, really shouldn't be available in many spots. Maybe still available in some deeper or in some more shallow leagues. Nelson Aguilar, starting to show some of his promise that we were hoping for last year, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's had his moments, but again, dropped a touchdown on Monday Night Football. I mean, had a couple other options that were, could have went for longer games. He made some plays, though. I mean, Carson Wentz is definitely bringing some excitement back to that offense. It's not a vanilla offense. They're definitely throwing the ball a good amount. It's just a question of can he continue to – I mean, you're going to see what the Philadelphia Eagles are made of this week. Pittsburgh's no jerk. They're going to be hitting them all over the field. That defense is fierce. I mean, they've vastly improved in the last couple of years. Nelson Aguilar is definitely a guy that, if he's still available, definitely a guy who should be on your fantasy team.
Yeah, probably not available in a lot of spots. Same thing with Chris Hogan. Kenny Britt's a guy who might be available in some deeper form, some more shallow or even deeper leagues. It's still really looking like the top target. You think Kenny Britt's worth an ad?
No, absolutely not. Case Keenum, the St. Louis Rams. I know they're the Los Angeles Rams right now, but they stink. They are an abysmal team to watch from a fantasy perspective. I pray for Todd Gurley. People are saying he's the biggest fantasy bust of the year. Right now, he looks like it, but man. You have not scored two offensive touchdowns. You have not scored an offensive touchdown in two games. There is nobody on that team that's worth an ad in fantasy football. I can name you 15 guys I'd rather have than Kenny Britt. Is he doing serviceable? Yeah, but, I mean, does Kenny Britt really make you want to put him in his starting lineup and really get excited about it? No.
Jameson Crowder, another guy, I think should be added. Any other deeper guys you can recommend? Brashad Perryman might still be available in some deeper leagues. Looks like he might have some potential, particularly later in the year. You might have to kind of put him away. Eddie Royal's a guy I talked about a little bit earlier that I like adding. Still with some potential injury to Cutler. Jeremy Curley, kind of last week's darling, quiets down a little bit. What do you think of the San Francisco receiving situation?
Another receiving situation is just cloudy right now. I mean, Torrey Smith caught a touchdown, but really didn't do anything else. I mean, Jeremy Curley, you would think they were getting blown out most of the game, that the receivers would have put up better numbers. and it just didn't. I mean, same thing with St. Louis. Nobody I'm adding on this team. I added Jeremy Curley in a lot of spots last week, and he let me down. I'll still keep him on my bench, but the upside on these guys is they're not there. I mean, maybe if Colin Kaepernick comes in, it's higher, but St. Louis and San Francisco receivers are just guys I don't want right now.
Yeah, you wouldn't roster any of those guys either. Quentin Patton, Curley, those kind of guys. Are these guys worth rostering?
I think Curley's probably the only guy. I mean, Torrey Smith is going to be on most rosters. Curley would be worth a speculative add, but even a guy like Vance McDonald, if he didn't do that, if he didn't have that long touchdown last week, he had one catch. That's it. So, I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get. Blaine Gabbert sucks. Chip Kelly is, I mean, I was totally wrong about that guy in Philadelphia, and he hasn't shown me anything in San Francisco yet that's been any different whatsoever. So I'm not adding any San Francisco or St. Louis receivers this week or probably in a long time.
Guy that's a sneaky play always is Anquan Boldin. If he's available, you need a guy to kind of fill into your lineups. I definitely recommend picking him up. Guy looks like he's got a solid role in this offense, so he shouldn't be available pretty much anywhere, in my opinion. The other guys I'm not crazy about but might have some life, Devin Funchess, Adam Humphreys, Terrell Pryor. You think these guys are worth rostering? What do you think about Terrell Pryor?
I mean, Terrell Pryor, I actually like, you know, the improvement he's had at the position, but we go back to Cody Kessler. I mean, where's the ceiling at? I just don't see it. I mean, I think they're just going to get beat up, and he might have a 4-for-40 type of ceiling right now. Maybe sneak a touchdown and blowouts, but other than that, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I got a league with Terrell Pryor and Quentin Patton on my bench, and I'm just like, ugh, I just need to cut them both and see what I can find, I feel like. Take a look at some tight ends that might be able to help some people. Like I started off the show a little bit with, is giving you some praise on Dennis Pitta, baby, coming through. Definitely an obvious add at this point. Shouldn't really be available anywhere after this week, I don't think. Except for in, you know, very shallow local leagues where nobody's backing up their tight end. Kyle Rudolph, I know he's not an exciting sort of sexy ad, but continues to kind of get the ball and get the targets to be a serviceable play. Clive Walford, getting some passes in Oakland. I like what I see out of him with Carr really slinging the ball over the field. Jacob Tammy, deeper option if you need somebody with something to get in your lineup, potentially for buys and injuries. Virgil Green shouldn't be available anywhere. Vance McDonald, you think he's worth a roster spot, did you say?
I mean, he's a guy who caught a long touchdown but really didn't do anything else. I mean, Chip Kelly's offense is just vanilla right now. It's not really – they put up a lot of points, but, I mean, they really didn't do anything from a fantasy perspective that really excites anybody. Another name you didn't mention is a guy who flew under the radar last week that I mentioned, who had a really good game on Monday Night Football, was Trey Burton. I expect Zach Ertz to miss another week this week, and in a game which could turn into a little bit of a shootout, even though both defenses are playing well in Philadelphia, Trey Burton is a guy who was heavily involved in the offense with Carson Wentz, you know, caught a touchdown, made some big plays. I think he had 4 catches in the game. Definitely a guy that if you need a tight end with some upside and an offense is clicking right now, Trey Burton's definitely a guy that is a guy that I would add.
Yeah, especially. Great call, man. What a game from him. Kind of out of nowhere, I thought. How crazy going to go with him on bidding?
I mean, I got him pretty much everywhere I could get him last week, but you're going to have to spend for him this week. Tight end heavy leagues. I mean, we said it 1,000 times. Tight ends right now are just hit or miss. I mean, even the bigger guys. I mean, Jordan Reed has been kind of inconsistent. Gronk's still hurt. Gary Barnes has been very bad. Kobe Fleener, Julius Thomas. I mean, we can go down the list of tight ends who just really have not got it done so far. Outside of Greg Olsen, nobody's really doing anything. Dennis Pitta, but, you know, he was more of an ad last week. I would spend a good amount of money on him. I mean, not a ton of money because Zach Ertz will be back after the bye. He is the guy. But for a one-week guy, if you can get him for like the $90, $100, he's definitely got to watch. especially this week.
Is Philly bye week four?
Philly bye is week four, so you're going to get him for a week. He's definitely a guy that I think he's 2,500 on DraftKings this week. He will be in a ton of my lineups.
Yeah, gotta love a one-week wonder, but yeah, like you said, don't overpay because, like you said,
definitely don't overpay for him because Philly's bye week is week four. So Zach Ertz, if he's not back this week, he's going to try to play. He's definitely a guy that will be back and valuable part of the offense week five.
Guys, you're listening to the BFD Fantasy Football Show. We appreciate everybody listening live and those downloading later, wherever you may be. We genuinely appreciate the support. Get on over to Scout Fantasy and help support us and get some great content, help win your league and win some money on some daily picks at scoutfantasy.com. Again, all of our content exclusively there in 2016. Just use promo code BFD16 and you'll get 3 free months of content. The monthly fee is just $12. So if you use buy 1 month and use that promo code, you'll get content through the rest of the NFL's regular season and through the rest of your fantasy season for only $12. Again, using promo code BFD16. It is a monthly thing. You can cancel at any time. I heard a few people kind of concerned about that. So feel free to cancel once the season's over, unless you like all the great content that Scout's got coming, and you can get back in tune with us for next year. Again, over at scoutfantasy.com, BFD16 is the promo code. Hey, man, let's take a look at some weekly matchups here and see what we see for next week.
Yeah, definitely starting off Thursday night, it's going to be really, really tough to get excited from a fantasy perspective in this game. I think Lamar Miller is probably the number one player. DeAndre Hopkins' ceiling will not be that high in this game because I just don't see New England throwing the ball around the floor, you know, throwing the ball around the field, you know, Edelman, guys like that. I would sit them. If your name's not Hopkins or Lamar Miller, I don't play you in this game. Even Will Fuller, I know it's hard to say because he's been great this season so far. Lamar Miller is definitely my number one player this week, but that's not saying a ton because I really think this game's going to be a knockdown 19-13 type of game.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the rookie quarterback for the Patriots. I tend to agree with your analysis, but he could surprise, but I'll generally fade it where I can. Moving on to Sunday's action, we got the Ravens at the Jaguars.
Jacksonville's been terrible so far. I think this game's pretty much could be Gus Bradley's job on the line. I mean, a team that many thought were a playoff contender, I mean, has been terrible through 2 weeks. Where's Allen Robinson? I think this is a game where Allen Robinson breaks out, has that monster game that everybody's waiting for, really, you know, takes to the next level. And I think you would think get him a ton of targets. I like the Jacksonville, you know, all Jacksonville players in this game. I think Travis Benjamin, Tyrell Williams in San Diego are guys to look at. We mentioned Melvin Gordon. Dexter McCluster is a guest, but definitely a name that deep, if you're really desperate, is a guy that I would use in this game because it could be a, you know, a PPR type of up and down type of game.
No doubt. Like you said, could be a sleeper game. Let's see. Redskins at Giants.
Another game that Odell Beckham, Josh Norman. I mean, what else from a fan, from a, just a fan perspective, can you just love about this game? I think Odell Beckham goes off. I think he shreds Josh Norman. I just think he has something to prove after two, I guess you can call it subpar weeks, not scoring last week, especially, you know, with the Saints dropping a touchdown late in the game. I think he has something to prove. I mean, I think the Giants are playing very good football on both sides of the ball right now. Not getting in the end zone enough last week, but still, Sterling Shepard must start in this game. I mean, we saw what happened with, you know, Braylon on the other side. Whoever is not on Josh Norman's side is having a good field day. Victor Cruz, he's back, clearly, you know, making big plays. Running back perspective, I would start none of them. I mean, Rashad Jennings is definitely a name to watch because if he doesn't play, I mean, there's a bunch of guys behind who could be speculative ads, especially, you know, daily format where you could save some money. The Giants running back position is definitely one to watch, but not one. Shane Vereen probably be the best guy if you have him. Redskins, man, 0-2 start. I didn't see that coming. I thought they were the best team in this division. The team is starting. They're a loss away from just blowing up. DeSean Jackson, you know, I would think should get the ball more. Jordan Reed was used a lot early in the game, but not much after. Jamison Crowder is definitely a name that's sneaky under the radar. Got a lot of targets again last week, caught a touchdown. But Kirk Cousins, it's put up or shut up. And the way the Giants' defense are playing at home, I think this could be a nail in the Redskins' coffin.
Oh, like you said, I was hoping, you know, like I said, thinking that Cousins could bounce back. But like you said, Giants playing tough at home could be a tough one, as I agree. Who did you like in the Ravens' backfield? I'm sorry, you backtrack there.
Ravens' backfield, I would probably say Forsett. I mean, it's still a tough backfield to really get excited about. I mean, I'm just waiting for Kenneth Dixon to get back, and hopefully he takes the reins. I would say Forsett. I mean, 24 carries through two games, I guess, is okay. But not one I'm really targeting in most places.
No doubt. Me too. Like Dixon as well when he comes back. Detroit Lions at Green Bay Packers.
Everybody's taking a shootout, and I agree with them. Aaron Rodgers, they just don't. I don't know what happened to that offense. You know, last year they were obviously without Jordy Nelson, you know, took a big step back, you know. But the year before, they were up and down the field, up and big play this, big play that. They just don't have it right now. They have no running game. Eddie Lacy sucks. James Starks is just a serviceable backup. Jared Cook showed flashes again on Sunday night, but they just don't get him the ball enough. I think he'd be a valuable part to that team. I think he could bring what Michael Finley brought to that team, you know, in the past. Jordy Nelson's not on the same page at Rodgers, but this game has the shootout written all over it. Marvin Jones, you know, I know a guy that we both liked a lot this year, owning a lot of teams. Definitely a guy that, you know, emerged last week again after a solid week one. This game, I like it, like everything about it. Theo Riddick, you know, is a guy that is a must start in this game. I pretty much like everything about this game this week.
Yeah, I've got to be one of the better games on the board to be playing the Stars in. Let's see, Cleveland Browns at Miami Dolphins.
Yuck. Definitely the yuck game of the week. Cody Kessler, I wouldn't start any Brown this week. I mean, I just don't. Corey Coleman, I guess you can say maybe if a game it could be a blowout, he might get a couple cheap TDs. Gary Barnes maybe is a check down. Isaiah Crowell, I just don't see it. I mean, Duke Johnson, where are you? I mean, Cleveland right now I thought was going to be a lot. I mean, obviously the injury is a quarterback, you know, really have hurt him. But from a Miami perspective, Jarvis Landry's ceiling is only going to be so high this week because I expect this to be a Miami easy win. This is a game that if you gamble on the Miami running back and get it right, you could have a very, very, very strong fantasy game. It's the question of who you're going to gamble on. Is it going to be Drake? Is it going to be, you know, Jay Ajayi? I'm gambling on Drake if I have to. Miami defense is probably a top one or two defense this week.
Yeah, man. Kind of like that, and a lopsided man. Poor Cleveland Browns. Just adding to the list of quarterbacks, the unbelievable number of quarterbacks they've started in recent years. And like you said, got to like the running back potential of Drake or Ajayi. Vikings at Panthers.
Another game from a fantasy perspective. We said Jonathan Stewart, Adrian Peterson going to be out. Ugly running back situation. I mean, both defenses are two of the best in the league. I don't expect this to be a big, you know, running game. I think it's going to be more of a Sam Bradford, I guess, versus, you know, Cam Newton. Kelvin Benjamin, what a start to the season. I mean, I was totally off base on this one. I didn't think Kelvin Benjamin was going to come back as quick as he did. I mean, he's been outstanding last week, and, you know, a solid, solid game. Greg Olsen continues to be, you know, give Cam Newton the weapons he hasn't had in the past. I mean, them two together, Devin Funch is playing solid football on the other side. If they can just find, you know, if offensive line can just keep Newton up, Carolina's not going anywhere. That defense hasn't missed a beat. They're playing solid, solid football. Yeah, they have young corners, and eventually they're going to make some mistakes. But from a fantasy perspective, I like Cam Newton this game. Bradford, Diggs, obviously you got to start. Rudolph, you mentioned. Running backs, if I had to pick one in the whole game, I would pick McKinnon.
Yeah, I like that. McKinnon, definitely. You know, Diggs is the guy who's really surprised me and, you know, a guy that I've underowned. Like you said, Benjamin just looking like a beast. And Cam Newton, you know, looking like a beast against pretty much anybody, even against the great Vikings defense. You know, perennial great play with these guys. Broncos at Bengals.
Another game that should be a defensive, you know, battle. I mean, two teams that are – Trevor Siemian is never going to set the world on fire. I just – he's exactly what they need right now. He's not making many mistakes. C.J. Anderson's having a solid season. He's getting Emmanuel Sanders the ball. He's getting Demaryius Thomas the ball. They're going to be still obviously fantasy starters. I don't like them that much in this game. I wouldn't use them in big formats because their ceilings, again, we always talk about ceilings, are only so high. A.J. Green came off of just a total dud last week. Killed so many fantasy teams, daily teams all over. Tyler Boyd started to emerge last week. Definitely a guy to watch. Maybe not in this game, but I don't think you're going to see much from this game from a fantasy perspective that would excite you.
Yeah, you know, on the Broncos side, you know, Siemian looking solid, you know, and giving his players some opportunities. So, you know, DT still a bit banged up. Got to think Sanders is kind of the guy, especially with Virgil Green also a bit banged up. Cardinals at Bills.
The Bills are just a dead man walking right now. They fired their offensive coordinator after what I would call a pretty good pretty good offensive day. I mean, yeah, they had some long, cheap touchdowns, but Sammy Watkins is clearly banged up, and without Sammy Watkins, this offense stinks. I mean, Charles Clay just looks disinterested out there. Robert Woods, I don't even know why he's on the field because he doesn't do anything. LeSean McCoy is just one or two more losses away from just blowing up. That team is just a complete disaster right now. Fantasy perspective, nothing I like about them. I just think this is going to be a very, very ugly, ugly football game. The Cardinals defense is a must play, obviously. Carson Palmer should have a field day against the secondary. This Rex Ryan vaunted defense is just got lit up by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the boys on Thursday night. David Johnson should rebound after what most people think has been a subpar season so far. Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, what's not to say about that guy? I mean, he's outstanding right now.
Yeah, I got to agree. I will say that the Bills, you know, maybe I'm not as pessimistic on them moving forward. You know, don't like the matchup, but, you know, they could get it on track a little bit later here. Raiders at Titans.
Definitely a game that's going to be another under-the-radar game. I expect Amari Cooper to have a monster game in this game. He's really been quiet so far and very been disappointing. I don't know if it's really his fault, but Derek Carr's had a really solid start to the season. But he's been spreading the ball around.
Had that huge play called back.
Yeah, Michael Crabtree has definitely been the more favorite option, especially around the goal line. Latavius Murray, we mentioned, I think he's the best back for the Raiders, clearly, but they just don't trust him. Titans, Marcus Mariota is definitely a speculative, you know, name, especially in daily this week, the like. Sharp kind of came back to earth last week. I'm just rookie receivers that are number one, that are quote unquote number one receivers, just they just don't excite me. I don't see it. I mean, he's going to have his games, and he's going to have his – that offense is a run-first team. Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, Delaney Walker, and then the receivers are a distant fourth, in my opinion. But this is a game that could be a shootout because the Raiders' defense and really the Titans' defense stink.
Yeah, I like DeMarco Murray in this game. We got to keep it moving, though. Rams at Bucks.
Tampa Bay all day. Nothing to mention on the St. Louis. Or I keep saying St. Louis on the Los Angeles side. I mean, Todd Gurley, you got to play him if you own him. You drafted him in the top 10. But other than that, there's no Rams to play. Jameis Winston wouldn't be my favorite start this week. Obviously, Mike Evans is going to be one of the best, you know, options on the board. Running back perspective, if Doug Martin's out, Charles Sims is the guy.
Hey, man, the Rams are 1-1, baby.
49ers. I have no idea how they beat Seattle last week. That defense played very well, but that offense is just abysmal. You can't score a touchdown in two games. Just stop.
49ers at Seahawks.
49ers and Seahawks, another game that from a fantasy perspective, not exciting. Russell Wilson is obviously a play. I like Jimmy Graham in this game, a guy who seems to be getting back into the flow of things. Doug Baldwin a little banged up. Tyler Lockett a little banged up. Both should be okay. From a running back perspective, Christian Michael, I just think he's the better back right now. I mean, I know we mentioned Thomas Rawls last year, and they all hyped him up. He's going to be a starter. He's going to be a starter. The guy's always banged up. So, I mean, he's not been healthy so far. So, I think Michael could be the guy this week and definitely a guy that I would look at using.
You say you're okay with starting Russell Wilson?
Oh, absolutely. If you own Russell Wilson, I don't see how you don't play him.
Pittsburgh Steelers at Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to be there. It's going to be a wild game. I mean, the Battle of Pennsylvania, two teams that are 2-0, the Carson Wentz hype, Steelers are an outstanding football team right now. They have it all. From a fantasy perspective, I say start everybody. I think this game is another game that could be a very high-scoring game. Jordan Matthews, I would use Aguilar. We mentioned Trey Burton. Ryan Matthews got 2 touchdowns, didn't really do much else. Darren Sproles, very, very – I think he's a must-play in this game. I think he'd be very valuable for the Eagles. From a Pittsburgh perspective, Eli Rogers was dud last week. Very, very disappointing. Mostly people probably spent a ton of money on him if he was available. Didn't do anything. Obviously, Big Ben, D'Angelo Williams, we don't got to mention them. Jesse James is another guy that, if you're tight end desperate, is a start this week. Trying to figure out a speculative number two receiver for the Steelers, it would probably be Sammy Coates just because he's a little bit more of a deep threat. And they might be able to get over the top on the Eagles just because their corners are very young. But it should be an exciting game. I can't wait. It's going to be a wild, wild day.
Yeah, interesting. I might lean, more Rodgers. Wheaton coming back. I still kind of lean him when he gets back. But Eagles, can I start both their tight ends?
I mean, if Ertz is playing, Ertz is your starter. If Ertz is not playing, Trey Burton, forget Brent Celek. Don't even talk about Brent Celek. Start Trey Burton over Jesse James, over them all. I said it last week. I'm not sitting here saying Trey Burton's the next Gronkowski, but they will use a tight end in that offense. And if Zach Ertz does not play, Trey Burton will be very, very, very valuable in that game.
Agreed. Jets at Chiefs.
From a fantasy perspective, I think it's going to be an ugly game. I mean, the Chiefs, outside of the second half and overtime, week one, have been abysmal. Jeremy Maclin's not really as involved as he should be. They still don't have a second receiver on the other side. I know you're a Chris Conley fan. I'm not. Travis Kelce isn't as active as he has been in the past. Running game, they kind of came back to earth last week, obviously against a very good Texans defense. Spencer Ware is still the better back if Jamal Charles is not playing. Charkandrick West is, has his moments, but I still think this is the Ware show. From a Jets perspective, Matt Forte, we mentioned. I mean, I couldn't even tell you the tight end for the Jets. I mean, there's not anybody you need to worry about. Eric Decker, must play. Brandon Marshall, if he plays, must play. If he doesn't, Quincy is definitely a guy you got to get in there. Fitzpatrick, I wouldn't use. Alex Smith, I would never use ever in fantasy football. Not the most appetizing game here.
Yeah, it could be, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more bullish on the Chiefs coming off a tough matchup last week. Might be a little bit sneaky. Hopefully, Kelce and Maclin come back to life a little bit. San Diego Chargers at Indianapolis Colts.
Another game that could be up and back. I mean, these games, every time these two teams play, it's usually a very entertaining game. Andrew Luck, 0-2 at home. It's a must-win for Indianapolis, especially with the Texans possibly to go into 3-0 if they beat, the Patriots on Thursday night. T.Y. Hilton, Philip Dorsett, all must plays. Dwayne Allen's a must play. Still not using Frank Gore. He has no excitement for me. He just doesn't do enough. Chargers perspective, Travis Benjamin, absolute must play. Melvin Gordon, must play. I mentioned Dexter McCluster, definitely a guy you need to look at. Antonio Gates, you got to play. Tyrell Williams, I think you got to play. I think this game is another game that could be a nice high-scoring game. Over-under set of 52. Vegas is usually never wrong with that stuff.
Feel pretty solid. Benjamin is the number one target getter again.
I mean, I say yes. I mean, he's definitely a guy that Rivers looked at a ton last week.
Yeah, looked great, and I love the guy. Dream scenario for him. Chicago Bears at Dallas Cowboys.
Bears probably will be without Jay Cutler. Definitely a Cowboys. Maybe if you're looking for a really, really cheap defense, could be one that could be a valuable option. Dak Prescott impressed me a lot last week, coming back and getting that win against Washington. Ezekiel Elliott still has not shown me that he's a top 5 NFL draft pick. He's been very, very suspect through two games. Dez finally got the ball. Cole Beasley's clearly the number two receiver. Outside of that, nothing really in Dallas. From a Bears perspective, the running back position is very, very questionable right now. I'm a big Jeremy Langford guy. I've been a big Jeremy Langford guy. But John Fox, you know him from Denver. He just can't ever settle on somebody. If he does, they're one fumble away from being on the bench, and Jordan Howard could be a sneaky ad in that game.
Yeah, I don't know about him, you know, Howard in this game, but I like Howard as an ad, particularly if you get Langford. Because, you know, they do are starting to look like they want to develop him. And then we got Monday night, Falcons at Saints.
I mean, what's not to like about this game from a fantasy perspective? Sanu, Julio Jones, Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman. I know me and you have not drafted him pretty much anywhere, and it's worked out great for us. Running backs is just in the second round, third round where he was going just weren't valuable. Matt Ryan's probably a top three quarterback this week against a dreadful Saints secondary that will be still banged up. Jacob Tammy's a guy, if you really need a tight end, is a good value this week. From a Saints perspective, you're using Drew Brees. I mean, you got to use Mark Ingram. They just don't want to run the ball because they just can't right now. I mean, they pretty much have given up on it. Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, must plays. Toby Fleener is a must bench. I don't care if he goes out and has a monster game. The guy just looks lost on the field. You spend all that money on that guy, and he looks lost. This game is another extremely high over-under. It should be a really, really, really fun fantasy football week, unlike last week, which was kind of a dud in most spots. I'm excited for it. There's a lot of great matchups, a lot of high, you know, over-unders, which we like. Hopefully it's definitely entertaining.
No, definitely going to be entertaining. Like you said, great matchups this week. Love that Steelers-Eagles. Love that Monday night Falcons-Saints. Love that Chargers-Colts. You know, lot of good fantasy matchups to sort of lick your chops over. Have you had a chance to look at some daily plays? Who you like in daily this week besides some guys maybe we've already chatted about?
Allen Robinson is definitely a guy that I will be rostering in a lot of spots. I think it will be underutilized. Definitely a guy that I think that won't be after two duds, people will be looking at him. Outside of that, I mean, most of the guys I mentioned, Trey Burton, I mean, Jerick McKinnon's a guy that he'll be cheap. You know, Charles Sims. I mean, the bigger name guys. I like Odell Beckham this week. I think he's going to put on a show against Josh Norman. I think the Giants are going to try to stomp on the Redskins' throat. Will it work? Who knows, but it's definitely going to be a fun week. I'm hoping for a lot of high-scoring games, and I'm hoping to be on the right side of them. And go Eagles.
No doubt. Big game for the Eagles, man. Hey, man, I think we got to leave it right there. What a wonderful show. For those who haven't, please do get on over to Scout Fantasy for a lot of more great content and talk on players and picks for daily content. Get on over to scoutfantasy.com right now. Join their premium package for only $12. Again, all of our content exclusively with them for 2016. Use the promo code BFD16. Again, BFD16, and you'll get 3 free months. That $12 gets you 1 month. My code BFD16 gets you 3 free months. That'll cover you through the rest of the NFL regular season and through your fantasy season. So do get on over there. Again, I've got my daily plays and fades coming later in the week. Coaching tree still up and very viable. Lots of other great pro content there from lots of other great players. So really happy to be with the Scout Army and Scout family. Get on over there and join us, please. Good luck, everybody, in week 3.
Come, then you know that you wanna stay. Close the blinds and pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let the day into night come and celebrate. That's how we do it, man. You gotta say hey, and you know where I live. Now you know what we get. Sometimes you gotta say hey. Welcome to my house.